I know everybody in here likes to read, don't you? Huh? And don't you love books and stories with happy endings? Everybody's nodding. That's right. You like a happy ending. I like that, not just in books. I like it in the movies. I like it in life. I love a happy ending. And Barbara said that she wouldn't marry me if I didn't like Cary Grant and Deborah Carr. And that was a happy ending in that movie. And then we got to see the original from the 30s, and that was a happy ending. Bad endings, I'm not real thrilled with. But that's the way it goes. Life, I wish, were like this. I really wish sometimes life was like a fairy tale and a happy ending was there and everybody would all just be happy as anything could be. But you know what? Life isn't this way. I'm sorry to say. It really isn't. Life sometimes has its bumps and its bruises and its tears. And it's a reality that every single one of us have faced and are facing. And it doesn't seem fair, does it? Nah, Scripture doesn't promise us a rose garden. It promises a way through the valley of the shadow. And the shadows can be pretty bad for a lot of people. And I know in our congregation right now, we have a lot of shadows. We do. And sometimes you can't do anything about those shadows. They're there. And they're a pain. And they hurt. And you wish, boy, I wish I could get around it somehow. And yet, I remember Isaiah's many, many times saying all of the bleak stories that are there, because the Old Testament's filled with dark moments. And don't worry, Yahweh, the Lord God will lift you up beyond your distresses. Will lift you up. But in the meantime, there are those moments. Open your Bibles to Mark. This is an interesting little bit of Scripture. It's one that too often we don't really look at or think about. It's the first chapter. Again, I'm using the first chapter leading into the Lenten season, and I'm looking at verses 29 through 39, which you'll see is just a real short little piece of Scripture where Jesus heals and Jesus prays. As soon as they left the synagogue, they went with James and John to the home of Simon and Andrew. Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they told Jesus about her. So he went to her, took her hand, helped her up. The fever left her, and she began to wait on them. That evening, after sunset, the people brought to Jesus all the sick and the demon-possessed. The whole town gathered at the door, and Jesus healed many who had various diseases. He also drove out many demons. We talked about that before, didn't we? But he would not let the demons speak because they knew who he was. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him. They found him and exclaimed, "Everyone is looking for you." And Jesus replied, "Let's go somewhere else, to the nearby villages, so I can preach there also. That's why I've come." So he traveled throughout Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons. I wonder, as I've read this and reread it, if Peter's mother-in-law had given up with her illness when Jesus saw her ravaged with fever. I wonder if things looked absolutely bleak and dark and there was no hope. Now, these aren't details that I can give you, and they aren't details that I can even really go into my imagination with. I wish I could. But the point of the story is seen with her getting up and serving them. Just like a woman, isn't it? Huh? Are you hungry? God does, in God's time, lift us up. Remember I quoted Isaiah before we read the scripture? Wait on the Lord. He'll lift you up, all the circumstances. He'll lift you up. He'll lift you up. Well, that's kind of what happened here. And I want to make it as personal as I can because I know that there's enough agony right now in this congregation. When I went through my cancer battle with my wife and my daughter, you know when I was going with my daughter. All I had really was prayer. Professionally speaking, a minister is not guarded against all of the agony and the frustrations that you can imagine. It's not. And we're not immune. And I can remember driving and arguing with God, and I can remember being alone in my own quiet, crying, asking why. Why? I knew cure was impossible. I knew that. But the prayers of people like you enabled me to find strength, and to share with other people going through ordeals and death when I was too. And I can look out and tell you who I talked to and who was there and a part of that in the process. It wasn't imagination, you see. I was wounded. God knows I was wounded. But I found healing strength, and I was blessed because of you and your prayers. And then God said, you must be a blessing for others. You are a wounded healer. Ah, that's not a new statement. It's not. Henry Nouwen, the late great German theologian, called those who've been restored after agony and turmoil and are enabled to serve other people with love and affection and hope, wounded healers. And I thought to myself, by gosh, you know, the church is made up of wounded healers, aren't we? Aren't we? That's the summons that God is giving to every single one of us. You're restored, okay. Help others, encourage others, that they can come to recognize that God has not abandoned them. You're not left out in the basement. You're not put down in the corner. You're not... I don't know how this works, but I've experienced it. And God reaches down and pulls you up. remember this. Two little points that I'd like to underscore here. If you're so far down that low seems up, God's promise is for you. God's promise is for you. God wants wholeness and healing and strength for you, and will be your strength and your healing. Second little jib. If you have experienced God's healing in any way in your life, and you found comfort and you found hope and you found strength, you were healed for a purpose. Doesn't matter on age. Doesn't matter on age. But you were healed on a purpose to reflect the light of Christ in such a way that others can trust God's promise is also for them. When I said earlier, we are a people of hope. Boy, oh boy, we need that in this country. We do. This negativity and this ugliness that surrounds our country now has no place at the foot of the cross. No place. May all of us, yeah, me too, may all of us grow stronger in that love of God in Jesus Christ. That kind of love and strength that wants to lift us up. To lift us up so that we can serve and celebrate with others the good news of Jesus Christ in new and exciting ways that give hope. Not distress. And we can bring joy into the life of our brothers and sisters in new and vibrant ways, in all that we do, in all that we say. Amen. God, give us healing, give us strength, give us joy, give us, surround us, empower us with your love. Amen.